Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome into Rams Showcase, Rams fans. I am your host, Sheriff Joe Bags. On this episode of Rams Showcase, what is OBJ going to do? We'll talk about it. Plus, is pressure building for wide receiver Tutu Atwell? We will find out. And later, preseason is finally upon us. We'll take some time to check out some of the position battles that are going to be extremely important as we watch these next three games. Before we hop into the news, make sure you follow the Rams Showcase and myself on all your favorite social media outlets. That would be at Rams Showcase or at Sheriff Joe Bags for myself. Let's go ahead and start with the news. Wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., what the heck is he about to do? We really have no idea. He does still remain a free agent at this time, but there's some social media posts that are coming out that are kind of shifting the narrative of where he potentially will land. There's some recent rumors that say that the Buffalo Bills are heavy in the conversation with Odell Beckham Jr., but you still can't count out teams like the LA Rams, who are absolutely still in that conversation, the Indianapolis Colts, who have been mentioned here and there, and also the Green Bay Packers, who I don't think will make a move for Odell Beckham Jr., but they could absolutely use the wide receiver help, and he would make them better at that position immediately, of course, once he does get back from that ACL. So from the Rams' perspective, I absolutely want Odell Beckham Jr. back. The Rams are a better football team when Odell Beckham Jr. was on the football field this last season. We saw that throughout the Super Bowl before that ACL tear happened. But so ultimately, I do want him back in LA, and I will absolutely celebrate if he does get back to LA. But I don't want to pretend like our chances of winning another Super Bowl hinge on Odell Beckham Jr.'s decision. If OBJ decides that he wants to play for a different team, this Rams team is still very, very talented and absolutely good enough to get it done again. If he does choose the Rams, like I said, I absolutely will celebrate that, but it's our entire hopes of this season do not hinge on Odell Beckham Jr. So as much as I do want him back, ultimately, I'm getting a little bit, I guess, exhausted of the speculation. What's he going to do? Is he going to go? Oh, he's going back to the... Oh, wait, maybe there's another team that's in the mix. And I'm just kind of getting... It's a little exhausting now. So now I'm just kind of like, okay, let's just see where he goes. Like, let's just make a decision, OBJ. We're in August now. We've been having this conversation for months. Maybe it's time to start maybe making a decision. I know that that I talked about it right after the Super Bowl of there's no reason to rush Odell Beckham Jr. for his decision. There's no reason to rush him. But now we've officially started the preseason. And now it's like, okay, well, let's at least get him into the building, whether that's with us or whether that's with somebody else. I think ultimately when he does return from that ACL tear, it'll just be better if he has a team, in my opinion, before we get actually into the regular season. So hopefully we hear a decision soon. That's ultimately the summary of it, is I would absolutely love Odell Beckham Jr. back. Our Super Bowl hopes do not hinge on Odell Beckham Jr. And I think it's just time to make a decision. All right, let's move on here. The Rams did release their unofficial depth chart, the first one of the season, which is always an exciting time. There's a few milestones that get me really excited for the return of football. Once we start seeing those training camp videos, the questions and then putting and stuff like that, that's like a sign to me that we are right around the corner. And this is actually one of my favorite times of the year. The buildup is awesome. Every team's got a chance right now. Everybody's 0-0 and everybody's excited. The reports, I mean, of course, there are some more reports this year out of different teams that are saying like, hey, maybe this offense is not looking good. New England Patriots is one of those examples, stuff like that. But this is a time for hope. This is a time for excitement. And we get the unofficial depth chart. This is just another milestone that I absolutely love to talk about. So some notes that I saw on this that I wanted to bring up were Ben Skowronek is right now, he's listed as a starter. So, of course, Allen Robinson and Cooper Kupp are on that list as well as starters. But Ben Skowronek, Benny Sko, sitting there at a starter spot, actually kind of jumped out to me. And a little bit of a surprise. But also, he was a pretty important piece of this Rams offense as we were in the postseason last year. And ultimately, we have to see his drops dwindle. We can't have that many drops anymore. Definitely dropped some touchdowns, more than one. I want to say it was three that I remember of in the end zone, and he just didn't get it. And then, of course, that Super Bowl one. After, you know, the refs missed the call on Jalen Ramsey getting pulled to the ground, and then the Bengals score a touchdown right away. And then we come out on offense, the Rams do, and right away Ben Skowronek makes a terrible attempt at a catch and props the ball right into the chest of a Cincinnati Bengals player. At that point, it was like, okay, we're losing all of our momentum here. And a big part of that was Ben Skowronek, because we can blame refs all we want to. We love to do that, of course, but refs are going to make mistakes. They're humans, and ultimately they have no dogs in the fight, so they're going to miss stuff, and it sucks. We'll get some calls that benefit us, i.e. 2018 NFC Championship game, or we'll get calls like that in the Super Bowl where they just missed it. So it happens for us, it happens against us, it's just what's going to happen. But that Ben Skowronek play, that is something that the Rams can control, and Ben Skowronek has to be able to make that catch. Running back one, RB1, says Cam Akers or Daryl Henderson, and RB2 is left open. I found this really interesting, that kind of jumped out to me. In my opinion, I would say Cam Akers is the clear number one over Hendo. I don't dislike Hendo by any means, but in my opinion, Cam Akers is just a lot better than Daryl Henderson is. And it's not intended to be a shot at Hendo at all. And of course, I mean, he does deserve his credit for what he was able to do on the Rams offense last year in a Super Bowl season. He had to start most of the games for the Rams. Of course, he did have help with Sony Michel coming over as well. Currently, Coleman Shelton is listed as the starter over Logan Bruss at right guard. So this is going to be something to keep an eye on. Of course, Logan Bruss, immediately following the draft, he was talked about as being a clear-cut starter, or at least a very strong candidate for the right guard starting position after some shuffling on the roster this offseason. But Coleman Shelton, who is listed as a center in some websites, he's just an interior offensive lineman. But Coleman Shelton right now, he has a very real chance to be that starter come week one, and it's currently being reflected already on the unofficial depth chart. Another situation like the running back, strong safety says Taylor Rapp or Jordan Fuller. And then strong safety two is listed open right now. It's completely blank. So I was a little bit surprised at this, and I think that ultimately it's got to be because of the Jordan Fuller injury from last year. And I've heard no reports on if he's still really struggling with this. Everything seems to be like he's doing fine. But I would say that Jordan Fuller is much better than Taylor Rapp. But at the same time, we got to see. Taylor Rapp appears to be, and there's two different kinds of players. Players who tend to get better or worse as the season goes on, or players who, when they enter a season as a certain player, that's just who they are. Jared Goff is a good example of that, where, you know, let's say 2016, of course, that was rookie season under Jeff Fisher. It's hard to look at that one and take it serious at all, but he was terrible that year, and he did not get better in those seven starts that he had from the Dolphins game on. And then the next year, 2017, it's like, okay, we might have a guy. And then 2018, we know he did incredible. 2019, though, he went into that season and all year just kind of looked like he just wasn't the same guy. And then, of course, we now know what happened. Rams ship him off to Detroit. We now have Matthew Stafford, but there's also other players. I would say, let me try to think of a good example. Cooper Kupp is a great example of this. Over the maybe like the 2019, 20, and 21 seasons, he was not the same player week one as he was at the end of the season. And I think that that's a big credit to him as a person. And that's not intended to be a shot at Jared Goff, but it is rather interesting to me that that certain players kind of enter the season, and that's just who they are that year. So I would say that is something that Taylor Rapp has been has shown me, at least. And I really hope that we do see more progression from him. I just expected him to be further along by this time in his career. Punter is currently Riley Dixon. That is expected. Nothing too crazy there. But punt returner and kick returner listed as Powell. So to me, this isn't super telling, and it doesn't tell us a whole lot about what the Rams are potentially doing here. But I would say that it does potentially look that like Tutu Atwell could be getting more focus on the offense rather than kick returner, where we could see Powell take over those spots. Let's get into some transactions real fast. The Rams did activate wide receiver Warren Jackson and running back Kyren Williams off the physically unable to perform list, and the Rams did waive tight end Kyle Markway. He's kind of bounced on and off of this roster for a little bit of time now. Real fast, before we move on, just wanted to give a quick program note. for myself. First of all, I did not mention the fact last week that I had a mustache. Kind of blew that off entirely. It is here. We don't know how long it's going to stay. And I say we very loosely because I am one person. But I would say that with the mullet and mustache combination that I've been rocking recently, I don't know how long this era is going to last. But you know what? I'm kind of here for it. So we'll see what happens as we steer into that skit. Also, I wanted to mention fan quesos. I have gotten some questions about fan quesos and what is going on with that. What I can tell you right now is that fan quesos is going to break into a live stream that will begin on Mondays once we get closer to the season. I was going to start this upcoming Monday, which is, was that the 18th, I believe? But I was actually, I scored some concert tickets from my job, so I'm not going to start this Monday unless we do something early, but I'll announce that on social media on Sunday if that is going to be the course there. So I don't think that's the 18th, actually. What day is it? I have no idea. Let me look. This is great content right now. It's the 15th. I was close. That's close enough. So that potentially could be the start of the live stream. And basically what that's going to essentially be is just a small update. Any last minute stuff that we potentially have, that will be something that we kind of address as the season goes on. But ultimately, that will be where fan quesos are. They were just taking up too much time of the actual podcast itself. So if you would like to participate in fan quesos, I am expecting to do that live stream on Facebook as well as YouTube. It's not going to be a pay-to-play kind of thing. I will answer your questions without it being a super chat. So that's just kind of where we're at with that. All right, we'll in a second here, we'll hop into part two. We got some questions about 2-2 Out. I have a lot of questions about 2-2 Out Well, and the vibes are very different depending on who you ask. Is he going to be absolutely incredible this year? Is he going to be absolute trash? So I'll kind of talk about it from my perspective. That's coming up next.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
This is Rams Showcase. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. Let's go ahead and get into part two. All right. Rams wide receiver Tutu Atwell, going into his second season in the NFL, did not complete his full first season as he dealt with an injury that he suffered about midway through, maybe a little bit before midway through. So wide receiver Tutu Atwell has not yet shown flashes on an actual NFL field. He's getting a lot of hype right now in training camp, not only from coaches, but from teammates and also from people that are attending the training camps, which are now closed. We don't have any other training camps that will be open to the public. He has also taken to Twitter to address the haters, and I don't think that I'm in this group. It's very possible, but I also know and understand that my show is not big enough to try to reach Tutu Atwell, and if it does, that's cool. That's awesome to look at, but you have no business listening to me, Tutu. If you are watching this, you have no business listening to a guy who literally has a mustache and a mullet right now and lives in Colorado. I'm just kind of stating what I see, and that is simply that we have not yet seen the flashes yet, and how long does it take until we do? So I've mentioned the numbers before, and Tutu Atwell is expected to play in preseason. McVay had mentioned that it's an opportunity for him to gain some confidence. So like I said, I've mentioned some numbers before. Brandon Powell is on this roster still, and currently, in my opinion, the biggest threat to Tutu Atwell as far as a roster spot goes for another player. And all that we currently have to go with is head-to-head stats and the reports that we hear. And reports are positive. And we do know that, Brandon Powell did suffer a little bit of a knee bang the other day in practice. That doesn't sound like something that's going to be super long-term. But, of course, we're just kind of waiting for more in-depth reports on that and what that could mean for his snaps in preseason. So taking away Brandon Powell's best punt return and best kick return, that it does include the punt return for a touchdown that he had in Minnesota, Powell's averages at returner are still better than Tutu Atwell if you take away his two biggest. So it's not just an inflated number on average. He is just getting more yards than Tutu Atwell. on the return. So I would say that Tutu Atwell, aside from the biggest his biggest roster battle being Brandon Powell, I would say that aside from Tutu and what he does on the field, his biggest battle this year is going to be health. And I would say that it's almost at a point where if Tutu Atwell doesn't make it through the season healthy, it almost doesn't matter what he does while he is healthy, because we're always going to look back and say, well, I mean, the best ability is availability. And if you are killing it where you're here, but you're only here for half the season, then what good does that do us? And so that's what we're going to be looking at a lot this year. He really can't miss any time. That is going to be his biggest enemy, is going to be his own health. And we've seen this team move on from players who are talented but deal with injury issues. Some of my examples that I have listed here, Todd Gurley, who was obviously, I mean, for those few years, he was one of the best running backs. I mean, he was the best running back in the league. And I think that right now he's still tied for most touchdowns in the NFL since 2018, something like that. So, I mean, obviously, extremely talented guy. The Rams were very willing to move on from him pretty fast. Greg Zuerlein, who is maybe the best Rams kicker of all time. He absolutely has stamped his place in LA Rams history. He is the second all-time leading scorer in Rams history. So obviously such a critical part in. And he's a kicker. I mean, so it's not like you were itching to move on from him. You're not like, oh, this guy's getting too old. You got Adam Vinatieri out here with total gray head, and he's kicking footballs. I mean, it's fine. You know what I mean? So to move on from Greg Zuerlein, I wouldn't say it was a surprise at all because of those injuries. He was dealing with that back injury. We heard the stories of Coach Bones driving Jeezy home after games, and Jeezy had to lay on his stomach on the passenger seat because that was the only way that he could sit comfortably. And then my other example would be wide receiver Brandon Cooks, who has been moved on from multiple teams simply because of his injuries and the concussions that he's had to deal with. I was always concerned about it. Every time you saw Brandon Cooks take a big shot, it's like, when are we going to see his last play? And it's not going to be a good thing. So I use those as examples. These guys were talented players. Todd Gurley, Greg Zuerlein, Brandon Cooks, especially that 2018 season, these were superstars on that football team. So to see the Rams being so willing to move on from them makes me think that if Tutu Atwell cannot find a way to stay healthy for a full season, I don't want to say that, you know, he's up for being cut this year or the end of this next season, but it's going to be something that's looked at as far as his potential long-term chances of hanging onto this roster. So that is something we absolutely have to keep in mind. None of my comments about Tutu Atwell, by the way, are indicative of how I hope that he performs. I have definitely interacted on the internet before, though, and I know that somebody could take one little tiny line of this and blow that up, and that could be, you know, the reason that Twitter hates me for a day or whatever, but which is fine. But this is, I hope that he does well. There's no Ram player that I hope performs poorly. I want this team to play well. I always want this team to play well, and I don't care what their name is on the back. I care about what the weird little patch on the left side of the shoulder says. And so that's who I want to perform well. Anybody who's wearing a Rams jersey. But I'm simply pointing out the trajectory that I'm picking up on. And of course, we only do have 1 year of content to look at, and then we'll get our second, of course, this year. But he was the first pick in for the Rams in the 2021 draft, and he hasn't even come close to showing why. Ernest Jones seems to be like the clear standout from this class, but there's still time, and that's just it. There is still time for Tutu, and some of the reports coming out of camp, they sound really positive. There's time, though, for Tutu to absolutely turn on that switch and just be absolutely unbelievable. He has such a unique skill set, especially on this current roster of the LA Rams. He very well could be a missing piece of the Sean McVay offense, and that dynamic that he brings could bring something to this Sean McVay offense that we haven't seen in quite a while. But that switch, it can go at any time. He is athletic enough, he is physically gifted enough that switch can go at any time, but it hasn't been switched up yet. We have not yet seen it. How many times or how many games do we have to see come and go without that switch flipping on, where we maybe have to wonder, is it even there? Does this switch actually exist? You could see the games, they'll pass a lot slower, though, when you are on the sideline in street clothes. So we need to have him on the field. That is going to be the most important part. The best ability is availability. And I don't know what the number is. Maybe it's different for everybody, but there's going to be a certain amount of time that passes where it's like, okay, we have not yet seen him turn it on and just have an absolutely incredible game. We did see that with Tavon Austin, of course, that Indianapolis Colts game where he went off. But we haven't yet seen that with Tutu. So does it exist? We currently don't know. I hope to see it sometime this year. Real fast, I want to mention social media, the LA Rams social media in particular. I have gotten this last week, as I've now returned to doing Rams Showcase episodes, I did get this week that I'm difficult to get a hold of. And you know what? I know I'm difficult to get a hold of. I know that I'm not good at responding to people. I'm not good at checking my messages. I wish I had like a real excuse where I'd be like, I'm super busy all the time. Like, I don't, though. I just don't like social media. And I don't like being reachable at all times. There's so many ways to contact me. You can, if you have my number, you can call or text me. Facebook with notifications and Messenger, Twitter with Messenger and notifications as well. Instagram, people can reach out to me. At some point, there's just too many avenues for people to reach me. I don't need to be reachable 24/7. And I know that maybe sounds like a jerk thing to say or whatever like that, but I also am a pretty private person. I like to keep to myself. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even know my neighbor's name. He just lived here for a year. I found out his name last weekend. That makes me a jerk, right? But I just kind of keep to myself. I go to work, I come home, I get in my apartment, and that's just what I'm doing. So I wanted to point out, though, some things on social media. And I would like to be, like I said, I would like to be better at responding. I just don't think it's who I am. And that's why I have Adrian to help me with social media, because I just don't like it. And this is not an attack on any group, posse, individual, organization, collective, personality, channel, clan, thread, or vibe even. I like, do what you want to do, and that's totally fine. I have no issues with any of that stuff. It's just I'm trying to let you know where I fit into it and where maybe I don't. Let's start with Twitter. I don't fit in on Twitter because in my opinion, like I said, this is no attacks on anybody, anything at all. I feel like there's a lot of toxic positivity that goes on Twitter. Everything is great. Everything's going to be okay. No matter who the Rams sign, no matter who the Rams cut, no matter who's hurt, everything. Hey, it's okay. Everything's going to be great. We are the LA Rams. And there's something about that vibe that just feels weird to me. It just feels kind of awkward. But everything we do is absolutely awesome. Underdog stories, top notch. Underdog stories all day long on Twitter. John Wolford, why is this man not starting? Taylor Rapp, super underrated, man. Why is this guy not starting? He should be, like, we need to extend him. We need to get all this stuff going. OBJ, we love you, man. You're my favorite player of all time. Please come back to the LA Rams. And we also get, on the flip side of that, every single life update. We get the news of, like, hey, Tutu Atwell did this in practice. By the way, I just had a bagel. You know, Allen Robinson, he's flashing in training camp. Do you think that maybe, you know, maybe the Dodgers are our baseball team? Like, every single thought, do we need to know every single thought that comes through your mind? Maybe I'm the jerk here. That's very possible, actually. It's very, very realistic. But every single passing thought gets tweeted out. I don't understand that. I can't participate in that. I don't have it in my soul. On to Facebook. Because these are the two that I use the most. I do have Instagram. I participate in that, stuff like that. But, and I am on all these, and I'm decently active. But I have just gotten many questions recently about why I don't respond to people or why I don't check things or anything like that. So I would say that on the complete opposite side of Twitter, Facebook, the Rams Facebook pages are extremely negative. They're like hard opposite of just everything sucks. Like Stafford, he's got a sore shoulder. Well, we might as well pack it up because the season's over. Stafford, I mean, his elbow's getting a little weird. So it's probably, we don't even need to watch. It's over. Season sucks. We're done. We need more superstars. What are we doing? This is LA. We need big contracts. We need flash. We need all this stuff. Why is John Wolford even on this team? That guy's not good. Why is Taylor Rapp? He should be cut. Get him out of here. What the heck are you doing over here? If OBJ doesn't play in LA, forget him then. Get out of here. We got other players. And then we also, like, from the personal post side of it, we only get the good news. We get the positive comments of like, hey, I'm doing this. And then the comments are where the negativity comes in of like, you should have done this, or like, why would you do that? That's stupid. It's just really weird to me. We only really hear from people if they're in a bad mood. If they disagree with you, you'll absolutely know it. That's a lot like YouTube as well. Not a lot of people come in to comment and be like, hey, man, I really enjoyed this. Thank you. It's a lot of people be like, you are an idiot. And that's cool. I mean, comments are comments and algorithms are algorithms. And thanks, I guess. I don't know. But both are terrible and I hate them. And I would like to participate in social media more. Maybe I'm missing it. Maybe I'm missing the point of what social media is all about. But now I've reached the age of 31 and I think that this is just who I am. So I appreciate more now than ever as I have kind of assessed my relationship with social media. I appreciate now more than ever Adrian, and I absolutely am going to get him set up on the Rams Instagram and Twitter pages so that I can interact even less. All right. Real quick, before we move on here, I wanted to mention again, Rams Showcase has t-shirts. This is not one of them. This is my Super Bowl obnoxious shirt, but Rams Showcase, I will put some on the screen for you. Rams Showcase does have t-shirts. These are available for purchase right now, and all you need to do to order is email aj.rsgear@gmail.com, and they are $25 a piece that is shipped, so email him with your size and color preference. There are three different options right now. There's a blue, a bone, and a black version of two different style jerseys, shirts. So, hey, hop on it and email AJ. Let him know that, I think he'll know that I sent you, because if you're ordering Ram Showcase gear, it'd be weird if somebody just did it on their own. That'd be kind of cool, though. Let them know, and then you can rock some Ram Showcase stuff. And also, because I still do not have a commercial for this for these shirts yet, I'm waiting, actually. I want your help. I am enlisting you. If you buy a Rams Showcase shirt, send me videos and or photos of you rocking my gear. Maybe it's watching a game, maybe just hanging out with the fam, whatever it is. And I want to use it in my commercial. So please, if you are a purchaser, feel free to send me some stuff and we'll get that going. All right, we'll take a short break here. And on the other side, we are going to get into some position battles as we are. Into preseason. Also, just a quick tease here, I have a conspiracy theory that I'm going to unleash onto the world, so stay tuned. Welcome back in. This is Ram Showcase. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. Let's talk about some position battles as we head into preseason game one as we play at the Chargers. All right. So one quick mention on the offensive side is the one that I did not mention last week because I didn't really anticipate it coming up, but it has been a heavy topic this week, is Logan Bruss versus Coleman Shelton at that right guard spot. So I've always been a big fan of Shelton. If you've watched Ram Showcase for a few years, though, you already know that. I like Coleman Shelton. I think he's a very talented player. I think he's an underrated player, honestly. And I think that if he gets the start, I ain't mad about it at all. If Logan Bruss gets the start, I ain't mad about it at all. So I just want to see where this position battle goes. And I'm excited to see who actually wins out, because who they are exactly today on as this is being recorded on the 11th right now. Who they are exactly today may not even be exactly who they are on the 15th. So this is going to be super fun to watch. And I love position battles as we get into the preseason. This is a really fun time, especially as we try to fill out some depth. So on defense, because we did offense last week, that video is available if you want to check it out. So head over to YouTube, Ram Showcase / YouTube, or that's way wrong. It's YouTube.com/Ram Showcase. I did it opposite. It's okay. All right. So on the defensive side, edge rusher opposite of Leonard Floyd. It does feel like it's open, but I do anticipate that Justin Hollins will win that job. Chris Garrett, Terrell Lewis, and Traven Howard all could be in the mix as well. Traven Howard does have some versatility at the inside linebacker spot as well. So I do think that he does make the roster as a depth position. Of course, he is an absolute hero in the NFC Championship game. Got that pick after AD was throwing that Jimmy fella to the ground, which was good times, and it was good. Some positive comments coming out of Daniel Hardy as well, so I'm interested to see where he ends up on the depth chart. Defensive tackle, absolutely loaded position. We know Aaron Donald. If you don't know Aaron Donald, I don't even know how I would address that. If you don't know who, if you're like, who's Aaron Donald? blow my mind a little bit. So we got A'shaun Robinson, Greg Gaines, Bobby Brown, Marquise Copeland, and Michael Hoyt. And that is a lot of monsters right there. So this battle here for the depth at defensive tackle is going to be extremely interesting. Of course, Bobby Brown is suspended for the first few games. So I would hate to see him go because I am a Texas A&M fan. I would hate to see that happen. But with the limited action that he got last year, even rotationally, where he was even inactive for a good chunk of games, I wouldn't be overly stunned to see him be cut. But I do think that the Rams hold on to him. But again, this position group is absolutely loaded. So it will be difficult for him to get any playing time, even post suspension. Inside linebacker at starters, there's no battle at all. It's going to be Bobby Wagner and Ernest Jones, barring an injury, holding it down. But we're looking to fill some depth. I like Christian Roseboom. I think that he not only is he sick on defense, and I think underrated on defense, but he's also a really good special teams player as well. And he's kind of been around as well, so I think he understands our culture, which is nice as well. So I think that he sticks around. Traven Howard, like I had mentioned, he does have that versatility to play multiple positions on the defense, so I think that that'll help him. I am super pumped to check out the position battle at corner, the depth that we have at corner right now, especially with some of these young guys coming in. So David Long Jr., young. Robert Rochelle, young. Tyler Hall, young. Jacoby Durant, Darian Kendrick, these are rookies, so obviously young. And they're all going to get plenty of playing time because we're not going to see Jalen Ramsey. We're probably not going to see Troy Hill either. So this is really exciting stuff. I'm so pumped to see this, and I'm just hoping that everybody we play in this preseason just absolutely throws it all over us, because I want to see what these corners are doing, especially Durant, especially Kendrick. These guys look, from what we know right now in training camp, before we've actually entered the preseason, what it looks like right now is that these guys, we may have hit on those two picks, absolutely. So I'm really excited to see what these guys can do. But Robert Rochelle, absolute monster. David Long Jr., we all know him as well. He's a great player. Tyler Hall feels like he could be an odd man out here, but I also really like his skills as well. So it's going to be a tough one at that spot, but that just is a good thing, though. We want to see the tough battles because that means you're a good football team. You remember back in like 2009 when we were keeping players on this roster because we just kind of had to? We would cut those guys and they would never see an NFL field again. Well, now it's a little bit opposite. Other teams are waiting for us to cut people because they'll pick them up. Which is obviously really exciting stuff when you're on the other side of that, when you can be like, well, you got these two superstars, but only one of them can stay. You know, that's a better position to be in than keeping guys that really have no business being on an NFL field. Jordan Fuller, Nick Scott, Terrell Burgess, Taylor Rapp, they all feel like they're going to make it. If I had to say who would be first out, it would be like Jake Jervis. But Quentin Lake, Russ Yeast, are these guys going to pop? You know, I would say that if Rapp were, again, I feel like my opinions on Taylor Rapp are in the minority. It's simply because of what I've personally seen from him, which is I wanted more. And I think that maybe that's it. Maybe I set my expectations, my personal expectations of Taylor Rapp a little too high. And now it's just like he's not going to hit that kind of thing. But I really liked Taylor Rapp in his rookie season, but then I feel like he's been that same exact player every year. That's what's kind of annoying me about it. So we'll see what happens at that safety spot, and if Taylor Rapp does have any actual battle there. But Lake and Yeast, these guys, you know, coming in as rookies, I would hate to see them go because they're so young. But that's a tough spot to get into if you're wanting to fit into the Rams defense at safety. And I'm not really sure if it's a battle or not, but Riley Dixon and Cameron Dicker, I expect them both to get some reps at punter. Maybe not, though. If we don't see Dixon in the preseason, then go ahead and lock it in that maybe Dicker is just here for preseason, which is what I said originally after the Rams picked him up as a UDFA this year, is that I thought that he would just come in and be our preseason leg, and that would be his tryout for other teams. But it looks like Dixon and Gay will be kicking the footballs for the LA Rams. It's going to feel a little bit weird to not see Johnny Hecker punting footballs. We're down to now just two St. Louis Rams on this roster remaining, which would be Aaron Donald and Rob Havenstein. That is it from the St. Louis era. So that'll be really interesting. We're officially into a new era of special teams. I remember the era of Bones, McQuaid, Zuerlein, and Hecker, and that was those guys, man. That was one heck of a special teams unit there. But now it's completely different. We got Coach D, we got Dixon, we've got Gay, and we've got Orzek. And you know what? These guys are awesome as well. It's just kind of a little bit of a shift, and still kind of getting used to it, I guess. But hey, an NFL roster is an ever evolving organism. It is never complete. You're never going to hear anybody say like, "Oh, we're nice. This is our roster. We're good. We're done." You know, that just doesn't happen. Some underrated players to keep your eyes on as we get into the preseason. And these are guys that we do fully anticipate seeing getting plenty of reps in preseason, because the Rams kind of set that precedent of not playing your starters in preseason. Who was it? I think it was Colin Cowherd that mentioned it, that Matthew Stafford comes into a new offense, a new team, new city, new everything, doesn't play any snaps in preseason. In week one, yes, it's the Bears. Their defense is okay, but like, yes, it's the Bears, but he goes almost perfect on it. Almost from that first drive, it was like, okay, this is going great. But then his example to kind of counter that was Daniel Jones, who got plenty of snaps in the preseason and then came out week one just looking terrible. I don't know if I think that though that seems like two just cherry picked examples of making a point, but either way, the Rams do not play their starters, and it has so far has not beaten or. Not hurt the Rams. Sean McVay has never been under 500, so that's a good start, right? So some underrated players to watch as we get into the preseason here on Saturday night, kicking off at 7 o'clock at SoFi Stadium. Quarterback Bryce Perkins, if he can get more consistent, I do think he's our second best quarterback. I do think he's better than the Wolf. I like Perk a lot, and I do think that Luis Perez is here simply for preseason snaps as well. But Perkins, I think that if he can get more consistent, I would anticipate him maybe taking over QB2, but also at the same time, this coaching staff really does like John Wolford quite a bit, so we'll have to see. If Wolford's not playing in preseason, he's QB2. If he is playing in preseason, I think that there's a real battle, and I think that Perkins could potentially take over that spot. Running back, Jake Funk. He runs hard, and he runs smart, and I'm really excited to see more of him. I wanted to see more of him last year, especially after the Akers injury. It was like, all right, well, maybe we'll get to see Funky Town a little bit more, and we didn't really. So we're all, you know, there's a lot of fans right now on the Funk train and excited to see this guy play. So preseason is going to be a perfect opportunity for us to get some eyeballs on Funky Town. I have too many great nicknames. I like the name. It's a great name. Jake Funk is a great name. You can do a lot with it. AJ Rose at running back as well. He feels low on the depth chart, but I also really like his skill set and what he brings. So I'm excited to see what he does and to see if he pops this year and is able to maybe crawl, scratch, claw, and make other people bleed on his way up to maybe a higher spot on that depth chart. So I'm really excited to see AJ Rose. Really excited to see Jake Funk. This is going to be a good battle at the running back spot to fill in the depth there, and this is also we get our RB1 back, and that's absolutely amazing. Of course, we're not going to see Akers, but to fill out that depth, I think is going to be very important. Of course, after losing Sony Michel as well, running back wide receiver Ben Skowronek. I'm looking at drops here, and if he drops like anything in the preseason, it's basically I'm going to go into the season and be like, well, we don't know yet, you know. But if we can see him just catch the football, we just need more consistency with him catching the football, and I feel good about what he can do, because he's great at running routes. He gets open. He cannot have those many drops anymore. That door feels like it's open for Ben Skowronek to get reps. But those drops have to go down. Wide receiver Warren Jackson, he's got a great build. He's very easy to throw to, but will he take advantage? Because we've kind of seen in the past with Warren Jackson, it seems like he's like right on that cusp, but it feels like he is like really sitting at like the 56th spot on the roster or something like that. Like he's not necessarily the first one off, but he's like right there where if he just did maybe one or two more awesome plays, maybe he's on this roster. So I'm excited to see what he does this preseason. tight end Jacob Harris. He could get some wide receiver reps. It kind of looks like in camp he's being that guy. But last year, I mean, he was like the 2021 preseason Nelson Spruce, where everybody was super excited about him, and then just kind of like he just didn't really get reps in the regular season at all. We saw him on special teams here and there, but he was inactive most games. So what is that? You know what I mean? Maybe it's the whole thing where, you know, Sean McVay doesn't use rookies that much unless they just really just are standing out, like an Ernest Jones, a Jordan Fuller, Terrell Burgess kind of guys, where right away you're like, okay, these guys, they can play football. Let's put them in there. So maybe that's going to be a thing for Jacob Harris. Maybe it's not. Tight end Kendall Blanton. He was a postseason hero for the LA Rams, so I'm excited to see if that does carry over into a new season. Right guard Coleman Shelton, he really might get the start over Logan Bruss. We kind of mentioned that, but this is going to be a position battle that's going to be really interesting, and I think that as far as the offense goes, I think this is really the only position battle for a starting spot. I think everything else is pretty much set. Now, it looks like that right guard spot, Coleman Shelton and Logan Bruss, that's going to be really your only battle to really look at. Outside linebacker, I want to see who's going to get the start opposite of Leonard Floyd and who's going to fill out the depth. We got a lot of guys at this spot, so we're going to see who pops. I'm looking for guys like Terrell Lewis, Chris Garrett. I'm looking at these guys to see if they can maybe take a big jump. Defensive tackle, like I said, loaded position, and every single play is going to count on this at this position. You see somebody miss a tackle at the defensive tackle spot, that could be that's going to pop up on tape, and that could be the reason they don't make the team. It's going to be a very tight battle and very difficult decisions for this coaching staff, and I don't envy that position at all, because there's like eight dudes at defensive tackle for the Rams that are solid players, or maybe it's closer to six, but they're solid players, and so that's going to be something to kind of keep an eye on. It's going to be tough decisions though from this coaching staff. I don't envy that at all. That's tough to cut some guys that you know can play football, just because one guy maybe made one more play, or maybe his locker room presence just a little bit stronger. Maybe he's getting a little more like people hyped up around him just a little bit more. Something like that. It's going to be tough decisions. Linebacker Traven Howard, versatile at linebacker, and could he pop this year? We saw him get waived, and everybody's kind of like, "What are you doing? Our NFC champion hero over here just got cut. Like, what the heck are we doing?" And then we did bring him back. So I'm excited to see how his attitude is, first of all, because maybe there's some bitterness there. Maybe he's going to say something along the lines of like, "I'm going to just kick all the butts in preseason here. Then let me go. I want to go find a different team." Maybe I don't know. I don't know Traven Howard. I don't know him personally. So we'll see. And then cornerback Jacoby Durant and Darian Kendrick. These two rookies look like they actually might be super sick. So I'm really excited to see what these guys bring to the Rams defense. And we get some really good teams to get them against. Mainly this first one here with the LA Chargers. They've got a lot of good depth at the wide receiver spot. So we're going to see some good battles as far as these guys go. Next game against the Texans, maybe not so many great battles to watch. But these are still NFL players. They still have gotten this far in their careers, so it's going to be exciting to watch either way. All right, I do have a conspiracy theory. We're going to get to that next. Lighting change for conspiracy theory time. All right, this is what I've got. Do you guys hear about this? Okay. All right. So the Denver Broncos, they officially sold this last week, and the Walton family now officially owns a Denver NFL team. That city is important to my conspiracy. The Walton family, the new owner, now officially the richest owner in the NFL by quite a gap. What is it, like $59 billion? The next is like $17 billion. It's a gap. This is the richest owner in the NFL by a lot. So the Broncos have recently bounced around the idea. I get a lot of stuff, local news here, being in Colorado. I hear a lot about the Denver Broncos. It's covered on local news and stuff. So there's been a lot of chatter in the last few years about potentially getting a new stadium for the Denver Broncos, moving on from Invesco Field at Mile High, which has already seen multiple names. But right across the street, right across I-25 from Invesco Field and Mile High, there is an amusement park, which is called Elitch's. I Went there plenty of times growing up. It's right up the road, and used to be a Six Flags park, but I know this place well. Been there plenty of times. It's a kind of one of those Colorado staples, you know. So the land that Elitch's, this amusement park, sits on is it's owned by Stan Kroenke. Enos Stan Kroenke. Some people call him Silent Stan. I like to call him Stan to Parade Kroenke, as he was able to rock out a few parades this year. This lot has already been named as a potential suitor for a new Denver Broncos stadium. And the new ownership in Denver, of course, does have ties to one Stan Kroenke, as Stan Kroenke is married to Ann Walton. If that Walton name sounds familiar, that is right. The Walton family now owns the Denver Broncos. So there's new ownership in Denver, a new quarterback in Denver, a new offensive coach moving on from a defensive guy in Denver. It's a new era in Denver entirely. And owner Stan Kroenke now has the ability to maybe, just maybe, rent out, sell, or lease the land that Elitch's is on to the Denver Broncos to have their stadium there. And I'm here for all of this, all right? If Stan Kroenke can make money on the Walton family now owning the Denver Broncos, that only helps the LA Rams. Denver moves across the street, and the Rams get new shoes, all right? That's really how it is. Let's go. Rams get new shoes if the Denver Broncos move across the street. And there's a lot of things that point to this potentially happening. There is nothing that points to this is actually going to happen. This is just my brainchild that's connecting dots over here. The Charlie Kelly thing, or the Charlie Day thing of the board with all the pins in it and stuff like that. That's kind of where my brain went with this one night. But if Stan Kroenke can pull this off, then that's only positive news for the Rams. That's more money for Stan Kroenke, which means more money for coaches, which are getting expensive, especially when you have guys like Sean McVay, who recently signed an extension. We don't even know the number of that. We have more money for amenities, which can draw free agents. We get more money for facilities, which can draw free agents. We have money for cash over cap contracts, which is what we've seen plenty of with this LA Rams team do, which is something that you need to have money as an owner to pull off. You need to be able to pay that money now and then just put it on the books as spreading it out over all this time. Cash over cap, you're paying maybe hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. The cap is set at a certain amount. You can't pass that. But based on how that money is being reported and where it's being allotted, you can do that. And that's what the LA Rams have done. That's why the Rams have built such a strong team. If you don't know yet the inner workings of the cash over cap, I encourage you to do your own research on it. I'm not going to go into like the cash over cap and how it works. It's like, I don't need to know how it works. I just need to know why it works and that it works, I guess, essentially. So this also kept more money for the Rams to keep a good football team in Los Angeles for many, many years to come. So the Walton family buying the Denver Broncos, I think, made the Rams a better football team long term. I think that this helps the Rams build their new headquarters that we've already kind of heard about, that potentially happening. And of course, Stan Kroenke's got the money. He's got the money to do this. But now he has a way to potentially talk to his wife, talk to family members, meet up at a family reunion, make a deal done, and get rid of the amusement park that, let's be honest, hasn't been cool in years. If you're from Colorado, you know exactly what I'm talking about, all right? It hasn't been an awesome spot to be at in years. Put the Broncos stadium there, maybe put something over where Invesco Field and Mile High is now, where they just put a Meow Wolf in, make that a weird little entertainment district, put the stadium across the street. Let's make this Rams football team even better. That's my conspiracy theory. What do you think? All right, Rams fans, thank you so much for hanging out. Make sure you follow Rams Showcase on all your favorite social media. That would be at Rams Showcase, Instagram and Twitter, Facebook.com/Rams Showcase. You can follow myself as well at Sheriff Joe Bags, just about everywhere. If you also want to hear me on the radio, is my day job, feel free to comment. I feel weird just saying it out to the universe, but comment and yeah, I'll guide you there. That's cool. That is it. That is going to do it for me. Our thoughts and prayers are out to those of you who are not Rams fans. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you so much for watching. Go Rams!